Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Actually, I prefer to be called Danuvius. This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, we've got a new ancestor. Well, they keep cropping up. Isn't that fascinating? If you and I changed our story constantly, regularly, repeatedly, people would be right to be skeptical. If one day we said Jesus Christ is God, well, maybe not so much the next. Oh, no, hold on. On the other hand, maybe he was a golden retriever. And that's actually not ridiculous. On second thought, watermelon. He's a watermelon. We've got some new information. People would say, what is it? Get your story straight before you start peddling it to us. And if you think that example is ridiculous, check out evolutionary science. Their scenarios are more ridiculous. This is just one more current story. Ancient upright ape Danuvius had human legs and was discovered by scientists. I'm looking at the pictures. I know these people are smarter than I am. Just because something looks like something else doesn't mean it's the same thing. It means that there's the same creator. That's what that points toward. Nevertheless, they found a couple of bones over in Germany. That's a problem. So now we've got to rewrite the story because early human evolution supposedly took place in Africa. Now they're thinking maybe Germany because they found some bones. The remains of an 11 million year old ape suggest that our ancestors started to stand upright millions of years earlier, according to scientists. Oops! If we taught like this, people would not buy it for a second. Wait a second. On the other hand, Jesus actually was fill in the blank. Nope, this is more ridiculous than that. The theory never stays the same. The findings raise fundamental questions about our previous understanding of the evolution of the great apes and humans, said Madeleine Böhm of the University of Tübingen in Germany. So now we're a little bit off. We used to think they were maybe like 6 million years ago. Now it's 11 million years ago. We used to think Africa. Now it's Germany. Let us know when you've got your story figured out. In the meantime, please stop telling our children that it is science and that we evolved from goo. Now it's stardust, actually. We've decided we've actually evolved from stardust. And yet this is the worldview that is a la Romans 1 used to suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness so that we can live like animals because that is what we are told that we are. That's a great message for the kids. And then we wonder why we have to teach them about self-esteem. Isn't that just a hodgepodge? That's a booyah. That's right, booyah. Who's the guy? Not Jim Cramer booyah. I'm talking about like Wisconsin booyah. When you put just everything into a pot, stir it around, and go, there you go, booyah, eat it up with some cornbread. Tends to be kind of tasty.
Oh, no, that was Emerald was Bam, not
right,
booyah.
Right, and so was Todd Bentley. Nevertheless, this is just throwing worldviews into a pot. You evolved from an ape. That's all you are. You're a monkey. Huh. But you should really think you're special. Even though we're just told you that you came from stardust, you're just amazing and special. And so we have to introduce the self-esteem mantra, which quite honestly is just shocking to me. I'm sorry. I'm a bit obsessed with this subject lately. For real, we could tell. The lies of the world, it is a barrage. It is nonstop. The devil, the father of lies, loves to lie because he loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And all of these worldview ideas are perpetuated from him, the father of lies, to get people to be miserable. And I'll tell you, I'm just seeing these verses all over. I don't know. If you've ever, I had to reach for my Bible. If you've ever prepared a sermon, and if you've ever done the cross-referencing work, and it's because your text is, let's just say your text is, it's Jesus and John talking about your father is the devil, he's the father of lies, he's been a liar from the beginning. And so you start to research, okay, what does that mean? He's been a liar from the beginning. So you run to Genesis 3. Ah, there he is. He's lying repeatedly. The fall, got it. And then where else does it talk about him being a liar? Well, it talks about him being the deceiver. Look at that in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. What's he doing? He's lying. He didn't have the ability to offer those things. Lying, lying, lying. And then all of a sudden, you're, for instance, in your 812 hours of daily quiet time, you're in 1 John, and you get to 1 John 5. By the way, the subject of truth is a big deal to John. Truth versus lies. At the end of John chapter, or 1 John 5, if anyone sees his brother sinning, we know, this is verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, doesn't keep on perpetually unrepentant lifestyle of sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So the more you, this is submitting to God. This is James. How do you resist the devil? You submit to God. You believe that God is the truth. He does best by us and for us. I do that. And then the devil flees. That's what John is saying here. Same thing James said. He who has been born of God keeps himself from, you war against sin, and the wicked one doesn't touch him. Because he's got fertile fields elsewhere. But now it keeps going. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So people who are not in Christ, they're swayed. Now that doesn't mean that Christians can't be swayed by him, but they're fully underneath his authority. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Don't follow anything but God who is true. Because if you're following anything else, it's an idol and it's a lie and it's going to kill you or destroy you. And we see that everywhere in the Bible. There it is again, and it just jumps off the page like, whoa, why have we not been talking more about this in the church? Now, we've had some sermons. There's no doubt about that. Some railing against Hollywood and Fifth Avenue marketers. But this is a big deal. In our age, we wonder, what changed? Why are so many more people depressed? Why are so many people suicidal? Well, it's because we're buying the lies of the world, and they're everywhere. They're in the schools teaching us that we're Danuvius-related, that we're apes, we came from stardust. That's a bummer. It teaches us that we can do anything that we want, and then suddenly we realize reality teaches us a different lesson. We can't do anything that we want, that we set our minds to and believe in and just dream it, and it'll come true. Life isn't a Hallmark movie. You know what? Hallmark movies shouldn't be Hallmark movies, but that's a different story for a different day. That's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. And then marketers come along and they lie to us some more. And it is perpetual. You will hear lies today more than you're going to hear the truth. Every billboard you say, most likely predicated on a lie. Every scheme to get you to buy something, enjoy something, telling you how wonderful the experience is going to be or the effect that it'll have on your body, how you look, how much you weigh. Lie, 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 lie. Just the very setting. You see advertising for a fix-it store. And how does that house look? Amazing. You watch Home and Garden TV. That house is so cool. Why don't I get the... And it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. It says that that's valuable, that that's the important stuff. Now, those things aren't insignificant. We all need to have a roof over our head. That's a blessing. But it's a lie that says, if you don't have something like that, then you're not cool, you're not groovy, you're not acceptable, you're not at the top of the ladder, and you're not really living life. Lie, 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 lie. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. because they're going to crush you. They'll destroy you. If you get a chance, start filtering. Start taking a closer look at what the world is teaching you. When you're driving along and you see billboards, and then consider what your kids are getting. That your kids with their little cell phones have got images coming in constantly. Marketing, headlines from news sources, screaming at us. What is the antidote to this? It is to listen to fewer lies, reject the lies, and consume the truth that is only found in the Bible, which is written by the God of all truth. And the results, stark. You believe lies from idols. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what you get. You believe the God of all truth, what do you get? He's the God of all hope. He'll fill you with hope. He'll give you joy. He'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He will grow fruit of the Spirit in you. Little children, be on the alert for lies. Shut them out and start consuming the truth, believing it, acting on it. The devil going to flee from you, and you will have joy. This is Wretched Radio. When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxine, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Here at Wretched, we know you guys are already great at giving away Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time Is Purple. So, why not add Are You a Rotten Fish to your arsenal? Are You a Rotten Fish is a perfect booklet for anyone looking to truly understand what makes a false convert. Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed treatment of true and false conversions. You know, the difference between wise and foolish virgins, wheat and tares, the difference between good and rotten fish. Give it away to college students as they head off to school or to your youth group at church. Go to wretched.org/fish and get your copies now. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus the false gospel in a short, thorough, punchy, yet loving way. Get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. His arguments are still in use today. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh, it appears this is picking up some steam. This is Wretched Radio, the Reformation Project. Not familiar with it? You might be soon. This is an effort to try to persuade the church that aberrant sexual behavior is no longer a sin. That's right. Matthew Vines, he is the leading proponent of this movement. He's the founder of the Reformation Project. He wrote an unscholarly book because, well, he doesn't have a scholarly education. Try to encouraging us, we've been confused for a long time about what the Bible says about homosexuality. You know, here's the deal. If we can take really clear texts and make them say something that they don't clearly say, then just game over. Really, just game over. If you can't read about the differences, the distinction in the church of the roles of men and women, and you can make it say, well, I know that Paul says it's a shameful thing. I do not permit a woman to have authority or preach to a man. But you can make it say, actually, I do permit it. Then just bring down the curtain. What else can you change? Answer everything. And that's why the women's issue is always the leading issue when it comes to liberalism invading a church or a denomination. In fact, if you happen to be Roman Catholic, well, we're glad you're here. Surprised you're here. But if you happen to be a Roman Catholic, I do believe that your Pope, here it is right here. Pope Francis proposes female deacons, married priests, at an Amazon synod. He originally opened a commission to study the possibility of women in the role in 2016, but the commission ended its work without a consensus on the topic. That is textbook. Let's study the issue. We'll have a commission get together and study the role of women in the church. And it gets greeted with, nah. But then, we're going to go back. We don't really have consent. We're going to try it again. And then it gains a little more momentum. More liberals join it. They get to the right convention where there's fewer conservatives. And the next thing you know, you're Episcopalian. Classic. So Francis, apparently, is seeking to change Catholic rules. Now, female deacons, you can argue as a Christian if there should be female deacons or not. But this, to me, the modus operandi of this is just classic. Deacons are ordained ministers of the church and can fulfill some, but not all of the roles a priest may fill. In today's church, they must be men. This is the Catholic Church. But unlike priests, they're allowed to marry. Deacons do not celebrate Mass, but they can give the homily, teach in the name of the church, baptize and conduct weddings, wakes, and funeral services. So that means the function of that office can be performed by somebody who doesn't hold that office. So now, women, apparently, they'll be able to do those things if Francis maybe has his way? Stating, we still have not grasped the significance of women in the church. Their role must go well beyond questions of function. Into form? What? I don't get it. So it's about a title? We'll see what the Roman Catholic Church does, if this is just another example of liberalism creeping in. By the way, at this particular meeting, a gathering of bishops recommended that Francis loosen his celibacy requirement for priests in South America's Amazon region to address the severe priest shortage. Or how's about because it's not biblical? That's just a thought for you. The Roman Catholic Church ordaining married men to the priesthood would break a precedent over 1,000 years old, not found, however, in the Bible. However, maybe you saw this story. Here's a salute, if you will, out of the Roman Catholic Church. At least one particular priest, Father Robert Morey, the pastor of St. Anthony Catholic Church in Florence, I believe South Carolina, would not let Joe Biden participate in communion. As a priest, it is my responsibility to minister to those souls entrusted to my care, and I must do even so in difficult situations. I will keep Mr. Biden in my prayers. To them, salute. Salute. Joe Biden not happy about it, saying, I'm a good Roman Catholic. Well, you're for abortion, sir. That would be one really big strike. We'll see what happens in the Catholic Church. The role of women, typically the camel's nose underneath the tent, moving toward reinterpreting the Bible when it comes to sexual issues. Matthew Vines, heading up the Reformation Project, they too just had a conference. Writing this, Matthew said, with about 500 people in attendance throughout the weekend, this has been our largest conference to date, and we can't wait to build on this momentum as we move forward. To do what? To normalize what has always been clearly understood to be sinful behavior. Even nature testifies to that. Nevertheless, Matthew Vines is an enemy of the gospel. He's a very likable fellow. I've never met him. I'm sure he's a nice man. But he's not just an unbeliever who's warring against God in his own world. Matthew Vines is encouraging the church to go to war against God, and he's leading the charge. Matthew Vines gets put into a different category, how we speak about certain people, people who are confused. We love on them, we're patient with them, people who maybe have a bad understanding of Scripture. We teach them. We can rebuke them. Matthew Vines is an enemy of the gospel, nice as he may be. We brought together 20 pastors representing over 40,000 people in non-affirming churches across the country for our inaugural Pastors in Process program on Thursday. So they're trying now to infiltrate good churches to bring them and to indoctrinate them that it's okay to be gay. Matthew writes, it was one of the most energizing things I've had the privilege to do in this works since starting the organization. He's the leader of the band. Conference attendees got to hear from some of our incredible local chapter leaders, and in 2020, we'll be working in our 9 starting locations to build an effective chapter model that we can then scale to other communities to help shift local Christians and churches from non-affirming to affirming on LGBTQ inclusion. Matthew Vines is not a nice guy. Might be pleasant, but he's an enemy of the gospel. We're laying the groundwork, he wrote, to create professionally produced video curriculum that can be used by churches, small groups, TRP chapters, I don't know what that is, and individuals. There are a number of non-affirming e-learning courses on LGBTQ people in the church, but no broadly accessible affirming equivalents, and it's time to change that. Get ready, church. Another wave is building. And it's never going to end. Do you know that if this Reformation Project movement is successful and every liberal church in the country bows to their whims, they're still not going to feel better? Because even though you've got the church, or a professing church, saying thumbs up to your sinful lifestyle, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy because God is opposed to you and your behavior. They'll never, ever, ever be satisfied, ever. Which is why GLAAD calls for 20% of primetime TV series characters to be LGBT by 2025. This is pretty funny, actually. They published an annual Where We Are on TV report, analyzing the number of LGBT and non-white characters. I don't know what they have to do with ethnic groups, but nevertheless. So they're calling on the industry to ensure that 20% of series regular characters in primetime scripted broadcast series are LGBTQ by 2025. Statistically, at present, 10.2% of broadcast series regular characters are LGBT. Did you know that? That seems high to me, but I don't watch TV much. A massive 2017 Gallup survey of 340,000 U.S. adults, that's a big survey, found 4.5% of the population identifies as LGBT, etc. That means presently, LGBT characters are overrepresented by television by 227%. But Glad's not satisfied. They want 20% of TV characters, so about a 500% misrepresentation, overrepresentation. And 4.5 times the actual LGBT population. Why? Because their conscience can't be calmed. Matthew Vines has a troubled conscience. I'm sure of it. And so does everybody who goes to those conferences. So does everybody who attends one of those affirming churches. So does everybody at GLAAD. So do all of the characters on TV. It'll never be enough. Because their maker is still opposed to them and their behavior. And they know it. And as dull as their conscience might be, although to me this actually signals it's alive and well, they'll continue to war against anything that reminds them that the way that they are living is sinful, which is really a tragedy because it keeps them from the good news of understanding that Jesus Christ died for sinners, including, laundry list in 1 Corinthians 6, liars, thieves, fornicators, homosexuals, the effeminate, drunkards, you name it, you can be saved. That's our message to Matthew Vines. This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. The Freedom From Religion Foundation demanding a Missouri school district investigate two high school coaches who allegedly have prayed with players, an action the group calls illegal and unconstitutional. Head football coach Jeff Wallace and assistant football coach Dave Stuckey of Cameron High School in Cameron, Missouri, have prayed with players and discussed Bible verses with them before and after games, according to the Freedom From Religion folks. They also say the coaches have led prayers in a post-game prayer at the 50-yard line, and they are urging Superintendent Matt Robinson to conduct an investigation. The letter pointed to Supreme Court cases that have struck down school-sponsored prayer. Parents of several players, though, told TV stations that they support the coaches. Parents also said the allegations aren't accurate. The 50-yard line gathering, parent Jeff Spear said, is voluntary and doesn't involve school-led prayer. The superintendent did release a statement to the media saying the district will be performing an investigation into the allegations to determine whether district policy has been violated. They say the district will also take immediate interim measures to protect students from further possible violations of district policy, and that no local complaints were brought to the attention of the administration of the school district. In California, verdicts coming due on two court cases aimed at punishing pro-life activists David Dalyden and Sandra Barrett for exposing Planned Parenthood's illegal selling of baby body parts. In a federal civil trial that concludes today, a jury will decide whether Planned Parenthood can collect millions of dollars from Dalyden, Merritt, and others associated with the organization Center for Medical Progress. The case charges the activists with committing fraud, breaking confidentiality agreements, and unlawfully recording conversations at National Abortion Federation trade shows in 2014 and 15. In a separate case, San Francisco County Superior Court Judge Christopher Height expected to decide next week whether Dalyden and Merritt are guilty of 15 felony counts each for recording without their consent abortionists and others involved in buying and selling fetal tissue. In both trials, the defense has argued that Dalyden and Merritt's undercover work falls under California's two-party consent law on recorded conversations, which includes exceptions for collecting evidence of a violent crime and recording in a public place. And a South Carolina bill protecting unborn babies with detectable heartbeats from abortion headed for the Senate floor in probably a 2020 election year fight. The Senate Medical Affairs Committee voted 9-6 last week to approve the Fetal Heartbeat Protection from Abortion Act, protecting an unborn child after cardiac activity is detected. Before the vote, though, the committee did restore exceptions for rape or incest and when the mother's life is in danger. If it's passed, South Carolina will join states like Louisiana, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Ohio with similar laws that remain tied up in court. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is El Roi, the God who sees. God is ultimately aware and concerned for us. Nothing escapes his vision. For the unsaved, this is a great terror. But for those who are in Christ, this is a great comfort. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bummer Tony isn't here today. This is Wretched Radio. Tony the Lutheran, missing in action. Where is he when you need him? With the Lutheran Church holding Drag Queen Story Hour for children. Joey, would you like to do your impression of Tony right now?
No, I would not. Wait, I got this.
No, he would say, that's not a Lutheran church.
Oh, yeah.
Ay. It's a picture of a... What was the name of that fellow in Great Britain? He used to dress up, I think, like Dame Edna. Does that sound right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what this particular person looks like, with a butterfly dress on in front of little children, little tiny children. Oh.
Barry Humphreys.
Oh, how many millstones are there? And then back behind him, there's actually a cross. It happens to be a crucifix. Nevertheless, it's a Lutheran church. Tony would say, that's not Lutheran. Nevertheless, that's where they hosted, in Brooklyn, New York, Drag Queen Story Hour for children. I am so glad that the world doesn't indoctrinate the children. Isn't that good that we're the only ones? Speaking of bad ideas, Paris Island Marines to start training with next gender integrated boot camp class. The role of women in the military, that's not what this story is about. It is about training together. South Carolina's 2nd Recruit Training Battalion will soon see male and female recruits training next to each other, the Marine Corps confirmed. Hold on, you might not think that's a problem. Hotel company will share the same barracks. There's a problem right there. But each platoon will have its own squad bay for Marines to sleep, shower, and do platoon and individual training. Why? If there's no difference between boys and girls, I say, why? Come on, culture. Let's speed up. Let's just get to the bottom of the barrel as fast as we can. There's no difference. No bathroom issues anymore. There's no more female clothing, male clothing. Let's just get rid of all of it. It's all a lie anyway, apparently. Ay, ay, ay. What could possibly go wrong with this particular story? Men and women sharing the same barracks, but just on a different side of the curtain, apparently. The Marine Corps are the only U.S. service branch without a co-ed boot camp, but apparently now they're joining in, and the boys and the girls, they'll be sleeping together. Terrific. What could possibly go wrong? Honestly. And you know, I'll tell you, we're so grateful for the people in the military. We're so grateful for them, that they do what they do. And we're so grateful for the families that they leave behind. And then they have to deal. What about it? What about Christians who are having to be put into this situation? What about kindness toward them? None. By the way, there's another thing I can get addicted to. I mean, I can only do so many because they're just so emotionally exhausting. But the videos of soldiers coming home, surprising family, tell me those just don't make you go, the sacrifice that they made, separated from family, being restored to them. Thank you if you're in the military. Sorry that you have to deal with some knuckle-headed thinking. But the knuckle-headed thinking, it's everywhere, isn't it? Georgia state lawmaker proposes making gender transition surgery for minors a felony. Sounds like a good idea to me. State Representative Ginny Earhart from Georgia wants to make it a felony for doctors to perform gender transition procedures on minors, including mastectomy. This is on children. Children. What is our world thinking? Oh, yeah, they're not. Including mastectomy, vasectomy, castration, and other forms of genital mutilation. It's amazing. We scream about it overseas when this happens to women, as well we should. But when we do it in America because the kid thinks he's the opposite, well, then it's brave. Ugh. And she wants to ban the prescription of puberty-blocking drugs and cross-sex hormone therapy. She said, we're talking about children that can't get a tattoo or smoke a cigar or a cigarette in the state of Georgia, but they can get castrated. Honestly. I know. This is. Here you go. If we can make the Bible say that sins that have always been understood as being sinful, if we can make the Bible say, no, that's not the case, then I think now we're pretty close to saying Paul was actually endorsing transgenderism in the book of Galatians. Well, that's why he told them to castrate themselves. It was an encouragement to be their true, authentic selves. See, that's what Paul was really getting at. And whilst I'm ashamed of myself for even concocting that, don't be surprised if someday somebody doesn't try to make the Bible. You see, in Galatia, they were very advanced in their time when it came to sexual issues. And so Paul, he was merely encouraging. They happened to be Judaizers who were opposed to the gospel, but clearly they were in the wrong body. So Paul simply told them to castrate themselves. He would have told them also to get a mastectomy, but they just weren't as advanced scientifically then as we are today. The author of the bill says the final bill may include language that makes parents liable as well as doctors. Whoa. There may be some implication for the responsibility of the parent to subject the child to this sort of dangerous medical intervention. That's where we're at today. The government needs to intervene to save children from their very own parents who want... No, I take that back. Well, okay, this isn't entirely fair, but to save the children from their mother, who seems to always be the one behind this. Maybe there's been some men, some dads that get dragged along, but it's almost every story that I've seen, it's a mom that encourages this behavior. Honestly, that we want to do this to our children. What in the world are we thinking? Oh, yeah, we're not thinking. But you can relax because the holidays are safe. Starbucks holiday cups are back, and they're very merry. According to the official press release, they're meant to evoke many moments of joy for our customers and partners. It's fun, festive, and uniquely Starbucks. So apparently they look a lot like last year's cups, which didn't cause a hullabaloo in the evangelical community. So it looks like you'll be able to enjoy Christmas, a cup of coffee, without consternation. Your name will probably still be spelled wrong on the cup, but nevertheless, it'll have polka dots, merry dance, Mary Stripes, and Candy Cane Stripe. So, no worries, Christians. No reason to boycott this year. Got me to thinking, will it ever get to the point in our culture where the celebration of a holiday is so disconnected from its source that it'll cease to be a holiday? I was reading this article about Starbucks, and you know how they try to find the line. They want to be progressive. That's what they most certainly are. They're progressive affirming in every regard. There's nothing Christian about them. So whatever a pagan company does, whatever with their cups. But they, you know, they just kind of play that line so that it looks like they're participating in the reason for the season, which is shopping. There's nothing to do with Christ and Christmas. As a rule in our culture, we still hear some Christ-based music being played on speakers when we walk through the department stores. Mostly that's traditional. Nevertheless, very little about Christmas is really about Christ. Will it get to the point where any generation goes, why do we say Merry Christmas? What is that all about anyway? And for a moment, I was thinking, maybe that'll be a hopeful thing that our world gets tired of and they go, let's just call it a winter solstice festival and be done with it. But I don't think they will be any more than they're done with Halloween. What's Halloween about? What's St. Patrick's Day about? They're not celebrating an Irish guy who brought the gospel to Ireland. Okay, he wasn't Irish, but I guess when he went to Ireland, he was Irish. It's not connected to anything, and yet we mindlessly celebrate these things. And the world, I think, will continue to do so as long as it is helpful for the economy. Once that changes, don't worry, Christian, we won't have to worry about the culture mangling our Christmas holiday. They won't be interested in it because they're not interested in it now. And might I suggest, should somebody at a department store or grocery store not say to you Merry Christmas because they don't believe it? I don't want to force some kid who's got a Christmas job away from school, whatever the circumstances are, to say something he doesn't believe in because I happen to have a higher view of Christmas than forcing people to say it. Just say it. Say it! Say it! Why do we want them to say it when they don't believe it? It seems to me that's just the very opposite of what Christianity is about. That happens to be the religious motif of, what is the name of that group that we read about in the New Testament? Oh yeah, the Pharisees. So, happy holidays from Starbucks. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks also to all of you who have taken time to share your stories with us. idea@wretched.org for the old email, or Beep Talk us. Leave us a voicemail at 1-877-282-BEEP. Nice note from Jacob that reads, just wanted to let you know how much I love your show. I faithfully watch every episode online, and I'm grateful you guys put them online for us to enjoy. I first found Wretched in 2013 on a Christian TV channel, and I've been a fan ever since. Keep up the great work. Jacob. Thank you, Jacob, and we truly do appreciate it when you send your wretched stories to us. We also appreciate the generosity of our gospel partners. Their faithful support is what keeps Wretched going and allows us to help make those wretched stories. So if you're able, join us to make more wretched stories happen. Become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Details at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Tempted. But I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get to a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee. But I'm not gonna do that. But we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe. 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
We are proud to announce our newest addition to the Drive-By series, Drive-By False Teaching. And just as the name implies, Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools you need to distinguish the true from the almost true and contend earnestly for the faith.
Over and over again, these same heresies keep cropping up. And you'll notice that virtually every kind of false teaching you can name stems from one of these five errors that we're going to look at. Actually, these same heresies, they're not extinct. They may be ancient, but they are not extinct. And these deal with real life issues that touch you and me, and often try to infuse themselves even into the life of our church. We need to be familiar with them, and we need to know how to refute them.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious and well worth defending. Drive-By False Teaching will help you defend our doctrines. Get your copy today at wretched.org/false-teaching. That's wretched.org/false-teaching.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else. and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And all of God's people said, ugh. That's right. All of God's people became lurch. This is Wretched Radio. BeliefNet. That's right. BeliefNet. Headline. Jesus did not die on the cross for our sins. Really? Then what exactly was going on there anyway? This is from an article in BeliefNet. Quote, no matter how hard you search, you will not find a single passage in the entire Bible that says anything about Jesus paying the penalty for our sins. That's because this is a, quote, Christian belief that the Bible doesn't teach. Oh, really? Rather, it was a theology created by humans. Well, theology based on the Bible can be articulated by humans, but that's exactly what theology is. Nevertheless, is it true there isn't a single verse that says anything in the Bible about Jesus paying for our sins? Well, let's start in the Old Testament, shall we? Starting with, you're probably going to go, well, Isaiah 53. Oh, we're going to end there. But let's start in Exodus, the sacrificial system. No, let's start in Genesis, where we see Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Isaac saying, where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide the lamb, because this was a fuzzy picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Every single lamb who had its throat slit, and there were millions of them, were pointing toward the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, which is what John the Baptist said in the Bible. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All the lamb sacrifices were pointing toward the greater sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Not a single verse. Are you kidding me? Now, let's scoot over to Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus Christ gave his life for the forgiveness of sins. Who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grows up like a tender plant. No form of comeliness. What a great reminder. God does not esteem looks as the important thing. Our Savior was not a handsome man. And yet we love him, not because of how he looks, but who he is and what he has done. Remember that when you're feeling the peer pressure of the world to look like a 10. He's despised and rejected by men. We hid our faces from them. From him he was despised. We didn't esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray, turned to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. For our sins, he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Who writes this garbage? That Jesus was just an example of love. No, dying on a cross as an example of love is an act of lunacy. I'm going to show how much I love you by just dying on a cross for no reason whatsoever. So basically, I'm going to commit suicide so that you can understand what love is. What nonsense. How does this stuff even get peddled or printed? Honestly, the love version or the Christus Victor version. Listen to this article. There are some limited verses that speak about Jesus' death in relation to our sins. Some limited verses? but they only point to Jesus' death somehow being related to our sins, but not that his death was a substitute or penalty because of our sins. Well, if that wasn't enough, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is being revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ to all and on all who believed. No difference. All sin falls short of the glory of God. So what's being talked about here? Sin, God's righteousness, judgment. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. What? It doesn't talk about Jesus Christ dying for our sins? There's a few verses that seem to hint at this possibility, but we're going to reinterpret it. What is this is why we rebuke and we defend the gospel, because this is how far it will go. If you can take a clear sexual sin and say, no, that's not really what it says, then you've got Jesus dying as a love example, because you can so mangle what the Bible says, and Christians will buy this because they don't read the book of Romans, especially chapters 9, 10, and 11. This is ridiculous teaching. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There's some verses that kind of hint about Jesus dying. We don't want to get carried away. Or you could just scoot over to Romans chapter 5. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Just vaguely hinting. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Well, you see, that appears to say that Christ died for the ungodly. But if you really examine it, and you'll have to study the Greek, but it doesn't actually say Christ died for the ungodly, even though it says Christ died for the ungodly. This is where liberalism goes. You crack open the door on any verse, and it gets kicked open to this degree. That's where liberalism goes. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This article is such trash, and yet it's being sold. It continues, his death did not scrub us clean of the sins we would commit in the future, or give us a free-for-all pass to do whatever we wanted. Who said anything about that? Paul shoots that down in Romans 6:1. Do we go on sinning that grace might more abound? And what about our future sins? Are we forgiven past, present, and future? Well, if you want to, you can read all about it in the Bible. In Colossians chapter 2, it says what? Our rap sheet, the whole shebang, it was nailed to a tree. All of your sins have been nailed to the cross. He's taken it out of the way. Having nailed it to the cross, he made a public spectacle of principalities and powers, triumphing them in it. What is this article? You just have to be totally ignorant of your Bible. Hold on, they give it a go. His death is not an excuse for our sins, which the penal substitutionary atonement alludes to? Really? It does? You mean I learned that God died for me, a wicked sinner? Hey! So I'm going to go do more of it! That is not the right response from somebody who gets it. They give it a go. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, the Bible reads, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture. Get ready for a twisting sound. Dying for our sins is not the same thing as dying to pay the penalty for our sins, which we just read that it is. If an innocent person dies because of another person's wrongdoing, the person who did wrong is still guilty. No, they're actually, their court case is dismissed when payment has been made. Ay, 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 ay. Jesus died on the cross to show us what love truly looks like in action. Once again, let's just say a man goes running down the pier. It's a long pier out into the deep waters of the ocean. And whilst he's running down the pier, he's screaming, "I love you!" And he jumps into the water without a life vest and drowns. Oh, that was such an act of love. No, he was nuts. He took his own life for no reason. But if there's somebody in the water who's drowning, the man runs down the pier screaming, "I love you," saves the drowning man, and in the effort to do so, sacrifices his own life. That is an act of love. That is penal substitutionary atonement. That is in the Bible, and don't let anybody persuade you otherwise. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.